This is America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C., an initiative of the U.S.-based think tank International Leaders Summit in partnership with Lancer Broadcasting Corporation and Supertalk Mississippi Media. Thank you for joining us on America's Roundtable. I'm Joel Adensami, your co-host, joined by economist Natasha Serdorch, co-founder of International Leaders Summit and the Jerusalem Leaders Summit.
America's Roundtable guests include leading voices from business, government, media, energy, technology, healthcare, and the broad policy arena. Subscribe to America's Roundtable on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, and Spotify. Visit America's Roundtable at americasrt.com. americasrt.com. Follow us on Facebook, America's Roundtable, and Twitter at americasrt. We invite donors and advertisers to reach us by visiting our website, americasrt.com. Welcome to America's Roundtable.
It is Saturday morning, and this weekend on America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C., we are truly honored to host the Honorable Peter Hoekstra, who served as U.S. Ambassador to the Netherlands from 2018 to 2021. In the U.S. House of Representatives, he represented Michigan's 2nd Congressional District from 1993 to 2011 and served on the U.S. House of Representatives House Intelligence Committee. He was a member of the Gang of Eight from 2004 to 2011, receiving the most highly classified information available in the U.S. government. He is the chairman of the Michigan Republican Party. And without further delay, welcome Ambassador Pete Hoekstra. A good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Ambassador Hoekstra.
Good morning. Great to be with you. Thank you.
Ambassador Hoekstra, President Joe Biden and his people are communicating with zeal that the State of the Union is far better than it was than the Trump presidency era, even stating that the economic health and the security of the nation has improved through Bidenomics. And from your perspective, your vantage point, as you travel across Michigan, the Midwest, and across the country, what are voters sharing with you about President Joe Biden's leadership on the economic and security fronts when comparing it to the governance under President Donald Trump just, you know, prior to the onslaught of the COVID pandemic?
Well, I'm hearing a much different story. There are a lot of families that are concerned about their economic situation. If they're looking to buy a home, they're looking at mortgage rates of 7%, which makes it much more difficult for them to get the new home or the first home that they've been looking for. In Michigan, when you go to the gas pumps right now, you're paying $3.49 per gallon. And if you live in a rural part of Michigan, you put on a lot of miles, and you put on a lot of miles very often in a pickup truck. And so gasoline at $3.49 is, you know, that's a big deal. They're concerned about, you know, their own safety. You know, they're concerned about with what's happening coming across the border and the impact that that will have on them. There are reports in the last couple of days again about, you know, busloads and plane loads of people coming into Michigan. And, you know, folks are just scratching their head and saying, wow, who's paying for all this? And they're smart. Voters are smart. They're saying, we are. And so, no, I think they're seeing at the working family level, they see a very, very different economy than what Joe Biden is talking about.
Right. And Ambassador Hoekstra, inflation and its remedy, higher interest rate that you just mentioned, are affecting households and the entire economy. There was a large drop in a belief of the American dream. According to the poll conducted by the Wall Street Journal, only 36% of the surveyed said the American dream still holds true, compared to 53% in 2012. U.S. national debt has a new record high of $34.5 trillion. Every day we are paying over $2 billion just in interest alone. Ambassador Hoekstra, this level of debt presents a threat to the American dream, economy, and national security. And during your time in Congress, you balanced the budget in 1998. What is your advice to Congress today how to reduce government spending and balance the budget?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, voters are smart. Okay, they see all of this, and you need to listen to the voters. I think it's very clear. Voters are saying, stop the spending. They don't believe that the federal government or the state government is necessarily the best place to spend their tax dollars or to spend their future and the future of their kids into debt. And so it's stop the spending. Stop the spending. Stop the government regulations. The way we balanced the budget, not only in 1998, but we did it for 4 years. The formula was fairly simple. Stop the growth of federal spending, cut rules and regulations, cut taxes, grow the economy. And not only do families benefit when we grow the economy, but so does the federal government, because the federal government receives more tax revenue when the economy grows. Mm-hmm. So let's grow the economy, cut spending, cut taxes, put money back into the pockets of American taxpayers. They'll spend it much more wisely than those folks in Washington.
As we have discussed on America's Roundtable, Ambassador Hoekstra, world leaders as well as our fellow Americans have stated that we no longer live in a safe world under President Biden. Conflicts waging in Europe and the Middle East, and even rumors of wars in Southeast Asia, have created greater security risk for America and our allies. And today, critics of the Biden administration are claiming that Joe Biden and Secretary Blinken are pressuring Israel to a ceasefire, a hastily endeavor with Iran-backed terrorist group. Ambassador Hoekstra, as a leading figure who understands terrorist threats, Iran's malign influence, and the security risk when serving as chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, what would you say to Israel's leaders about their resolve to eliminate terrorists despite Biden's ill-advised policies for political gain in America's 2024 elections?
You got to confront the evil that is out there. You need to defeat it. And the reason we have this flare-up, this brutal attack in Israel is very straightforward. We backed off of confronting Iran. Iran is the evil influencer throughout the Middle East, whether it's to Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis. But, you know, under Donald Trump, we basically, through economic means, we stopped the spigot. We stopped the flow of money to Iran. And under Joe Biden, we have again open the spigots. The money is flowing to Iran. It's not flowing to the people of Iran. Their life is not improving. It's flowing to all of these folks that are sowing, you know, dissension, violence, and war throughout the Middle East. And so, you know, what we need to do is we need to confront these evils and we need to defeat them. And for Israel, we all are very, very concerned about, you know, the humanitarian price. But the bottom line, Israel has made it clear that they will stop the fighting and they will bring peace. But it's only possible by defeating Hamas. And I think that's exactly the right way for them to be going.
Right. And one of the ways that Iran has accumulated quite a bit of a budget was through selling oil to China. And when we talk about China, in your op-ed piece co-authored with Joe Sella and published in Detroit News this past week, titled Against China Threat, Whitmer Leans into Taiwan, you share about the fact that nearly $4 billion in Michigan taxpayer dollars were used by Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Quentin Messer Jr., the CEO of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, to pursue deals with two lithium-ion battery manufacturers based in China, CATL, or CATL, and Goshen. And these deals have deep ties to the Chinese Communist Party and seek to locate their staff, technology, and manufacturing to Michigan. Now, these batteries are not permitted in Taiwan due to the national security threats they present, and U.S. Congress in recent weeks banned any further procurement of lithium-ion batteries from CATL and Goshen, and Pentagon is removing any of their batteries from military installations due to the national security threat. Ambassador Hoekstra, why is Michigan Governor Whitmer exposing America to national security risks coming from China and its Communist Party and going against U.S. Congress and our ally Taiwan?
Well, I mean, that's the $4 billion question. Remember, $4 billion in Michigan is $400 for every man, woman, and child in the state of Michigan. Wow. Think about that. If you're a family of five, and we started this conversation off by talking about the economic pressures that families are under, and we see, you know, for a family of five, $2,000 going to subsidize the investment in Chinese battery plants. And you're exactly right. Governor Whitmer is going in exactly an opposite direction of Congress and even the Biden administration. I mean, you know, the Pentagon removing cattle batteries from their facilities. And say, we're not going to invest in cattle anymore. Cattle is like Huawei. Okay, remember the 5G?
Yes.
They go in with predatory pricing, and they try to get the business. And what are we doing? We're removing Huawei from 5G networks, not only in America, but around the world because of the spying implications. They're taking cranes out of the ports that were manufactured in China. Why? Because of the spying implications. And here in Michigan, Michigan taxpayers are enhancing China's ability to spy not only on Michigan, but on the country by giving them $4 billion of economic incentives. You know, that's really the question that Governor Whitmer has to answer. We can stop much of this $4 billion and put it back into Michigan's economy by either investing in friendly countries, companies, idea, give the money back to the hardworking folks of the state of Michigan, give it back in a tax cut. Those are the options that we have. And the worst option of spending Michigan money is to send it to subsidize Chinese battery plants. That's a really bad choice.
Right. I mean, this is really terrible, what's going on with Chinese companies being able to spy in Michigan and, as you said, bringing risk to the whole country. On another issue that you mentioned earlier, that was immigration. According to the Gallup poll, while many Americans regard the economy generally or inflation specifically as the most important problem facing the U.S., far more respondents named immigration. In the Gallup poll survey and the Wall Street Journal poll released this past week, most respondents said that immigration is the top issue on their minds, with 71% of people saying that developments in immigration and border security are headed in the wrong direction. So it's not just Republicans who are worried about immigration, but also independents and Democrats. And you also mentioned, and it actually was published just 1 week ago, 19 illegal immigrants were detained in Michigan, some 1,700 miles and over a 25-hour drive from the U.S.-Mexico border. Ambassador Hoekstra, in your opinion, when can we anticipate to block illegal immigration, deport illegal migrants, and enforce a legal immigration process based on the rule of law?
No, I think that's exactly the reason people are concerned about immigration. It's not that Americans are anti-immigrant. I'm an immigrant. My parents immigrated from the Netherlands when I was three. Immigrants have been, you know, have been a lifeblood and something that has made America strong. When you go through the legal process, we have a process for immigration. What's bothering Americans is the violation of the rule of law. People just walking across the border, getting massive benefits from the federal government for their first step in being in America or coming to America being an illegal step. It is taxing our services at the state level, whether it's, you know, assistance programs and those types of things, or whether it's personal safety. There's way too many cases right now of where illegal immigrants are tied to horrific acts of violence and crimes in the United States. Those could have all been preventable. They would never have happened if we would have had control of our borders. And so we need to get back to legal immigration. Welcome those who come here legally, and we've got to stop the flow of illegals. You cannot say you have a country if you have open borders, right, which is where we are right now.
Right.
Ambassador Hoekstra, in fact, the state of Michigan is looked upon as a pivotal state coming this 2024 presidential elections in November. And we have seen over the years, sort of, you know, others have claimed that there is waning support for conservative ideas and certain internal challenges in certain key states. How do you see changing this and engaging Americans, including conservatives, independents, and disillusioned Democrats in this key swing state of Michigan?
And we're going to do exactly what you're supposed to do in a campaign. We're going to talk about the issues that matter to the American people and to the people of Michigan. And you're exactly right. It is inflation. It is taking away the American dream from a lot of our kids and grandkids and those types of things. And they see it. We're going to talk about safety and security. We're going to talk about immigration. We're going to talk about, you know, wasteful spending at the state level. And what I'm seeing as I'm going around the state is there are a lot of people, they don't know that they're conservative, but they know that they don't like what's going on. And so as we explain them these issues to them and the solutions that Republicans have, I think we're going to do very, very well in this state. There's the opportunity to do that. When you have the head of the UAW that just endorsed Joe Biden saying, I know that many of my workers are not going to vote for Joe Biden, that's an admission that this guy knows that a lot of his workers are hurting and they're looking for a new direction, and conservative Republican principles can deliver those types of solutions to the people of Michigan.
Well, we certainly thank you for your continued leadership, Ambassador Hoekstra, on the vital fronts of our day. Thank you so much for your continued efforts in advancing our shared values and principles.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Hoekstra, and we wish you all the best in the upcoming elections.
Okay, great. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye.
The U.S. Constitution prescribes the State of the Union as a presidential duty. The Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution, titled Executive Branch, says, and I quote, "He, the President, shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient." End of quote. Starting from the source of the State of the Union, the U.S. Constitution, we would have expected to hear from the President unbiased information about the State of the Union and the measures which the President judges as necessary and expedient to address issues on the minds of the American people and members of Congress, who are people's representatives. Instead of providing the State of the Union as prescribed by the U.S. Constitution, President Biden's State of the Union was a shamefully partisan and political campaign speech, with the Democrats chanting 4 more years. By publicly rebuking Supreme Court justices who were present in the chamber, President Biden showed disrespect for the rule of law, separation of powers, and independent judiciary. What the State of the Union speech accomplished this week, as Senator Rubio pointed it out, was a proof of life. And I quote Senator Rubio. He said, "The whole thing was just bizarre. It was hyperpartisan, no doubt about it. I've never seen a State of the Union where a sitting president mentioned his predecessor and future opponent so many different times and misled people with it. It was a proof of life speech. That's what it was. He said, I'm alive and I'm able to give a speech that I can read off a teleprompter. I'm able to whisper, but mostly scream, and I'm able to say things that I really mean about the Republican Party and the Supreme Court. I can make claims that they're going to get rid of Social Security." End of quote. One of the issues, which is the top issue for all Americans, regardless of their political affiliation, as shown by the various polls, is illegal immigration. If Biden was truly concerned about illegal immigration, he would have informed us about the truth, that we have the highest influx of illegal migrants on record. According to government statistics, the U.S. Border Patrol had nearly 250,000 encounters with migrants crossing into the United States from Mexico in December 2023. And that was the highest monthly total on record. And President Biden would also have offered measures to reverse his own executive orders. it was President Biden who canceled President Trump's restrictive immigration policies. Let us remind ourselves that on day one of his presidency, President Biden issued the executive orders. First, Biden halted construction of the U.S.-Mexico border wall. Second, Biden shielded hundreds of thousands of young immigrants from deportation. Third, Biden canceled the Trump administration's interior enforcement rule, thus limiting immigration officials' interior enforcement work. And finally, with his executive order, President Biden revoked the Trump administration efforts to exclude undocumented immigrants from the U.S. Census. With this Biden's executive order, illegal migrants are again included in Census Bureau estimates. Census Bureau estimates are used to apportion seats in the House of Representatives. So states are gaining congressional seats based on the number of illegal migrant influx over the previous decade. There is another worrying trend, allowing non-citizens to vote, which is permitted in the District of Columbia and municipalities in three states, California, Maryland, and Vermont. Today, there are over 11 million illegal migrants who reside in America. It appears that while President Trump considered immigration policy as the tool to bring people to America legally, based on the rule of law, President Biden and Democrats have encouraged illegal immigration with a payback through winning future elections, relying on the increased number of illegals.
During our conversation with Ambassador Peter Hoekstra, who served in Congress as chairman of the U.S. House of Representatives House Intelligence Committee and was a member of the Gang of Eight from 2004 until 2011, receiving the most highly classified information available in the U.S. government, he has consistently raised concerns about the China threat. Natasha and I were able to highlight the threat being played out in Michigan and other U.S. states with him engaged in this conversation. The Wall Street Journal has brought to our attention another issue where China is targeting America and American companies. Keep in mind, China and its operatives are constantly engaged in cyber attacks targeting America and is also known for the theft of intellectual property. The Office of the United States Trade Representative and the Commission on the Theft of American Intellectual Property estimate that Chinese theft of American intellectual property cost the United States between $225 billion and $600 billion annually. In the Wall Street Journal article titled, China Intensifies Push to Delete America from Its Technology, it states, and I quote, "For American tech companies in China, the writing is on the wall. It's also on paper in Document 79. The 2022 Chinese government directive expands a drive that is muscling U.S. technology out of the country, an effort some refer to as Delete A, for Delete America. Document 79 was so sensitive that high-ranking officials and executives in China were only shown the order and weren't allowed to make copies," people familiar with the matter said. "It requires state-owned companies in finance, energy, and other sectors to replace foreign software in their IT systems by 2027. American tech giants had long thrived in China as they hotwired the country's rise with computers, operating systems, and software. Chinese leaders want to sever that relationship, driven by a push for self-sufficiency and concerns over the country's long-term security. The first targets were hardware makers, Dell, International Business Machines, IBM, and Cisco Systems have gradually seen much of their equipment replaced by products from Chinese competitors. Document 79, named for the numbering on the paper, targets companies that provide the software, enabling daily business operations from basic office tools to supply chain management. The likes of Microsoft and Oracle are losing ground in in the field, one of the last bastions of foreign tech profitability in the country. The effort is just one salvo in a years-long push by Chinese leader Xi Jinping for self-sufficiency in everything from critical technology such as semiconductors and fighter jets to the production of grain and oil seeds. The broader strategy is to make China less dependent on the West for food, raw materials, and energy, and instead focus on domestic supply chains, unquote. Now, this does not sound like a China wanting to abide by international law and engaging in a rules-based marketplace and real competition, creating a level playing field for the countries to enter its market. It appears to be preparing for something else. China is still an American threat. And now focusing on U.S.-Israel ties in the Middle East, on Israel's ongoing efforts to eliminate Iran-backed Hamas, the Biden administration is now pressuring the Jewish state to a hastily agreed ceasefire. This is dangerous and could jeopardize Israel's security. We must remember that a ceasefire was in place by Israel and it was shattered on October 7, 2023, when the terrorist group Hamas, funded by Iran, brutally killed 1,200 Israeli citizens, including children and babies, injured 5,000 individuals, and took over 240 Americans and Israeli Jews hostage, with some 134 hostages still held captive in Gaza. Hamas refuses to return the hostages and has placed Palestinians in Gaza as human shields. And the Wall Street Journal on Biden's State of the Union highlighted Biden's shift in the vital U.S.-Israel partnership in favor of political expediency and, in essence, to win the votes of Arab Americans in two states, Michigan and Minnesota. The Wall Street Journal states, and I quote, "Israel also came in for a lecture about morality and civilians, a more forceful reproof than he gave Hamas. This was an attempt to pacify his party's anti-Israel left in Dearborn, Michigan, and elsewhere. But it may have consequences on the ground in the Middle East, where adversaries will wonder about the U.S. commitment to our best ally in the region," unquote. This is America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C., an initiative of the U.S.-based think tank International Leaders Summit in partnership with Lancer Broadcasting Corporation and SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Thank you for joining us on America's Roundtable. I'm Joel Adansami, your co-host, joined by economist Natasha Serdorch, co-founder of International Leaders Summit and the Jerusalem Leaders Summit.
America's Roundtable guests include leading voices from business, government, media, energy, technology, healthcare, and the broad policy arena. Subscribe to America's Roundtable on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, and Spotify. Visit America's Roundtable at americasrt.com. americasrt.com. Follow us on Facebook, America's Roundtable, and Twitter at americasrt. We invite donors and advertisers to reach us by visiting our website, americasrt.com.